Hey, hi, hello, homies. Today on Homegrown Horror, we're going back to Aristic, and we're going to talk about churches, we talk about coffee, we talk about hairballs, and we talk about civic duty. We hope that you enjoy your holidays, and then maybe, just maybe, we can offer you a little bit of solace while you're traveling, or as you're getting some alone time after spending a fuck ton of time with your family. From ours to yours, enjoy.
I think it's almost perfect now.
Hey Jackson, we're gonna be what the hell?
B, I'm so happy you're here. I need you to help me out for just a sec here, all right?
Okay, what do you need? What do you need?
I've been working for weeks now, perfecting this recipe for the best brownies that my community annual picnic is ever going to see.
Okay.
Every fucking year, I have to deal with Carol Sanderson and her bullshit, condescending attitude. I'm fucking sick of it. You know what she said to me last year? You know what she fucking said to me?
What did she say to you, Jackson?
That frosting's looking a little runny, isn't it now? I haven't been able to sleep for fucking months.
It shows.
I'm at my wit's end, B. I really am. I don't know what else to do. But I came up with a plan.
Okay.
No longer is Carol going to look down at me with disdain, thinking how pathetic I am, spitting on me with her pity. No longer. Because I've come up with the best fucking brownie recipe that this picnic's ever going to see. She's going to see. It's a competitive thing, you know, but you wouldn't be able to understand. But she's going to take a bite of these, and she's going to be blown away. I'm going to see it in her face. She's going to know that she fucked up, that she messed with the wrong baker.
Do you think that she cares about these brownies as much as you do?
What kind of question is that? Of course she cares about these brownies. I see the way she looks at me. When she takes a bite and is faced with her absolute lack of talent?
Jackson, I think you're projecting on Carol Sanders.
No, I'm not projecting on Carol Sanders!
You know what? How about I taste test your brownies, and then we can start cleaning up, because this place is a fucking wreck.
Fine. Alright. Okay. Cut you a square, okay? Alright, how is it? Here you go.
This is fucking disgusting.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to Homegrown Horror! Blasting people's eardrums right at the top.
Yes.
Good strat.
I'm Bea, a co-host.
I am Jackson, a co-host. And combined, we are a host.
Woo! A single host.
Yeah, it's like the Dragon Ball fusion.
Oh, yeah.
What's on me?
Hair.
Oh, thanks.
Are we surprised both of our wives have really long hair?
Yeah, and they get everywhere. I get every corner of this house is covered in, like, a ball of hair. Like, I pull a sweater out of my drawer, and there's going to be hair all over it. I pick up some socks, hair. There's hair. I wake up, I shower, and hairs come off of me.
Yes.
And I'm like not sure where they came from.
I just yawned. Amping it up.
Here at 1 in the afternoon.
Yes. It's 1 in the afternoon on a Saturday. We're back to our regular recording schedule because all of my shit is done.
Yep. Now we can live like, you know, take it easy, I think, on the recordings. Not be so stressed all the time.
Be like, I have one day to edit.
I gotta figure this out. No, I like having extra days to edit because it's sort of like you can do other things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, so it is a Saturday. It is chill. And tonight we are going to Slapsgiving.
Yes. Oh, my God. We're going to go to Slapsgiving, which is the acronym for, I think, Superhero Ladies Arm Wrestling Portland.
Yes!
Nailed
it. That is exactly what it is.
Awesome.
So yeah, they're going back to the table.
Back to the table. We're going to be at Oxbow. And for anybody who's listening there, come on and meet us.
Oh, later. Absolutely. Yeah. I never got to go pre-pandemic.
No.
And because Nyssa, who does our hair, used to tell me stories about Slap.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to go. And then 2020 hit.
What stories have you heard about Slap?
Just that it's really cool. Like,
yeah.
You know, the stage presence is excellent. Oh, the community is excellent.
Do they go kind of like a wrestling kind of style? Like the same kind of amped up shit?
I'm fairly certain, yes. And the other thing that I really like is that they have people that do like the rounds. Like they have the little things. And
that's awesome.
I always want it. I'm like, that. I want that job.
Right?
I want to dress up sexy and get tips.
I would too. Absolutely.
So, I'm so excited for tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited too. It's going
to
be fun.
We also watched Casper last night, so look forward to that.
It's going to be our bonus episode is Casper 1995 film. Just a little taste of it.
So much different than I remembered it being.
A little problematic, honestly. A little problematic film.
Yeah. ABC Family.
Oh, yeah.
A little
yeah.
problematic.
But let's not spoil anything.
Absolutely not. So, today's story is super interesting because, so as a lot of you know, I went to New York last week. Mm-hmm. And Allegra and I went to see Aurora, who is Allegra's favorite singer. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know her, I highly recommend looking into her. She's really great. Jackson likes her too.
Oh yeah, she's freaking awesome.
She's so like, cool.
It's what would you describe her music as? Because I have a hard time.
Oh, I have a really hard time.
Like,
because she also likes to dip her fingers into other things.
Yeah, she does like kind of poppy stuff sometimes. Sometimes like Cure for Me, I think is kind of poppy.
Some stuff is a little bit like kind of folky.
Yeah, a lot of folk stuff. I love her kind of folky. Trance environmentalist
that
vibe.
That's an excellent way of describing her.
It is kind of trance in a weird way, but it's not like...
It puts you in a trance.
Puts you in a trance.
And a lot of people might know her because she actually was the voice that was singing to Elsa in Frozen 2.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't ever see Frozen 2.
Ooh, gotta do that. I actually really like... I like Frozen 2 because it's campy, kind of.
It's campy.
Yeah, they just sort of went really hard into that, and
they,
I like
they,
it.
They don't like take themselves too seriously.
Frozen. I didn't think so. I don't think
took itself pretty seriously.
Frozen 2, I don't think takes itself super seriously. Okay. I cried when I saw it. We went to see Aurora, and we ended up at Terminal 5, which is the venue in New York, and we were up on the balcony or in the mezzanine. We got great seats. Or not seats, but great space to stand. And so this person was next to us, and we were kind of talking. Come to find out, she was from Presque Isle. Currently lives in Massachusetts, but was born in Presque Isle to a family of potato farmers.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we got talking about the podcast, and she recommended this story to me. She actually recommended a couple other ones, but this one was the first one she recommended. And I was like, this is fascinating to me. So, shout out to Ash Bobash, that's her handle, on Instagram. This one is for you. So today, I am talking about the New Sweden coffee poisonings.
Ooh, I have heard a little bit about this, so I'm very excited to dive into this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but something very important. Where is New Sweden?
We're getting to that.
Okay, okay.
Don't mess up my flow. Anything. Yeah, don't mess up my flow. Just don't mess up my flow. Okay.
Get in there.
It was an ordinary Sunday in New Sweden, Maine, on May 27th. Not May 27th, it's April 27th. Oh, okay. Just screwed that right up. Screwed the pooch.
Hey, hey, it's okay. So, don't beat yourself up here.
It's April 27th, 2003. The parishioners of Gustav Adolf Lutheran Church had just finished their weekly worship.
Terrible name, by the way.
Gustav Adolf. It's named after one of the people that founded the town.
Mm, oh, Gustav Adolf is a person that founded the town.
One of them, yes.
The New Sweden. Okay, yeah. All right.
So they finished up weekly worship and they began their refreshment hour, which consists of coffee and baked goods, and I didn't...
All churches have, like, a little, like, refreshment period after service.
I don't. Catholic churches don't.
Yeah, you guys don't have fun. You guys don't let yourself have fun.
So it's really
feel bad about
it. I realize that that's something that a lot of other denominations have.
Oh, yeah. Protestants love having crappy coffee in the basement, you know? That I think most... if you're Protestant, you go to... I grew up Protestant as well. If you go to any of these services, it's great because you can get cookies and coffee afterwards.
The cookies are probably good.
Yeah. Well, that's something actually I noticed about a lot of churches now. They give you coffee at the door. Get you in there for the
coffee.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Dunk's.
Just go to church every Sunday. You'll treat yourself to some free coffee. You know, some churches have nailed the coffee game, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, there's one nearby here, actually, in South Portland that has, like, craft coffee.
You went to it?
Yeah, because Emily's parents went there.
Is it The Point?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Yeah, they used to have, like, a mainly wraps in there as well.
Mmm.
Yes.
Then why go anywhere else?
Yeah, no, the Point is very fancy.
Very fancy schmancy.
Not long after the mixer began, some folks started to feel ill. Dale Anderson remembers feeling sick immediately, and he and his wife left, and he began throwing up violently once he arrived home.
Oh.
He and 15 others were rushed to Cary Medical Center in Caribou, with 7 of them eventually being transferred to Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor.
Oh my.
It had to be food poisoning. That's the only thing that made sense to any of them.
Right,
it has to be food poisoning.
All 15 of these people just being rushed after, you know, within an hour, you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then 78-year-old Walter Morris died.
Oh.
Rose Tangway, a nursing student that was working at the Northern New England Poison Center in Portland. She was working the night shift at the center, and when she did the trade-off with her coworker, they were like, hey, some calls have been coming in about possible food poisoning from New Sweden. You know, that's something that we're going to have to be working on. It wasn't until later, like, so this is the night shift, it wasn't until the next morning, Monday morning, that Rose realized that the potential culprit could be arsenic.
Really?
Yep. So okay. This nursing student is the first person...
to identify correctly what is probably
arsenic.
The cause of this.
Yep. Arsenic poisoning.
Now, isn't that interesting? They think of it more accurately, but it's also... I think the most spectacular of options.
Yeah.
Which I think kind of goes with, like, the mentality of being a student. And
yeah.
Then going into the real world and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be, you know, solving cancer cases or something. And then it's like, oh no, half the time it's like somebody ate too much toothpaste.
Yep. So she gets her supervisor involved. The medical community mobilizes, and they move quickly to try and determine if it's arsenic poisoning because the parishioners that were affected, their state was declining rapidly. They start taking interviews. They do blood samples. They have access to antidotes, but apparently the antidote for arsenic can fuck you up.
Like, how bad?
I didn't look.
I mean...
But they said that it could cause, like, it could cause severe issues in these patients if it truly is not arsenic poisoning.
So, like, no, and, like, we're dealing with very old individuals.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
kind of thing that's going to throw them off could put them under.
Exactly. The other thing that's actually super interesting as well is that the antidotes were only on hand because of 9/11.
Interesting. Huh.
Yes.
So after 9/11, there was what, a rush of like...
The Maine CDC
antidotes.
Wanted there to be antidotes on hand at every hospital in case of a bioterrorist attack.
So they'd have like everything.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had just... And some of the news sites had stated that they had just gotten them.
I think it's very interesting that the Maine CDC was like, we gotta protect ourselves after 9/11. And I'm like, what's gonna get targeted? And
you know that they flew out of Maine.
Oh, that's right. Ah.
So, okay. So yes, I think that, and I think a lot of people were really on edge.
Well, yeah.
I think. No confirmation. No,
They're still on edge.
A lot of people are, yeah, on edge after that.
People's
sense of security was really broken.
So, no, I remember, like, you remember going on airplanes before 9/11 and how fucking easy it was. Like, lines just moved. There wasn't really any bullshit to deal with security or anything like that. You just fucking got on. People could walk up to, like, to your gate and just walk around the terminal, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, that must have been kind of cool because then you can go to your favorite airport restaurant whenever you want. Now, if you want to go into, like, Applebee's over at the Chicago era or whatever,
go to another Applebee's.
No, this is the one. This is the right one. They charge you $27 a margarita and only put a shot in it. So it's my favorite place to be.
Oh my God. Woof. Yeah, so this situation is very interesting. So they have the antidotes, but if they give them to the patients, it could potentially harm them if Rose is incorrect. Mm-hmm. The director of the Maine CDC, with time being of the essence, made the difficult decision to administer the antidote. It wasn't until Monday night that the CDC did confirm that the parishioners were suffering from arsenic poisoning. And they made the right choice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I like that the director obviously has to make the decision, but trusted Rose as judgment enough to be like, seems very likely. But, okay. I had no idea that there was this period. I'm sorry. I just didn't know that there was this period, because I heard a little bit about this story. I didn't think about, like, an antidote being needed.
So that's
an intense amount of poison that they were, like, thrown
at. Yes.
Okay.
When they did look at Walter Morris during the autopsy, they found that he had acute arsenic poisoning. But I will say that the coffee,
he got the first cup.
Yeah, they figured out that the coffee was where it came from. And it itself had a high concentration of arsenic.
Wow,
because they tested the water, they tested the milk, they tested the coffee grounds, the sugar. There were a lot of people who were like, it's got to be the sugar. But they tested each individual thing, no arsenic. The coffee had arsenic. So whoever did this poured the liquid arsenic into the coffee.
Wow. That's super fucked up.
Yeah. New Sweden is 34.6 square miles, and it's located in Arista County.
Boo!
In 2003, it only had 650 residents.
How are there so few of you people up there? Y'all just keep killing each other. Guys, stop. The population's got to go up.
I know. It's got to go up, not down. It's about 2.5 hours from Bangor and is 50 miles from the Canadian border.
Hot damn. Okay, so this is deep, deep in there.
Yeah, and it was built by Swedish immigrants in the 1870s. Mm-hmm. They were noting that a lot of people are related in this town. They all come from, like, the same group of, I think it was 51 settlers.
That's got to be frustrating if, like, you know, you're in the dating pool. You know, it's like, you gotta kind of...
Go next door to Caribou, you're fine.
Go meet a girl, you know, kind of a couple houses over, and you gotta be like, okay, can I see your family tree? I got mine. See if they connect here.
Something that's also super interesting about this area is they still hold on to the language and traditions of their ancestors.
Oh, cool.
There are a lot of older folks that still speak Swedish.
Sick.
And also, they celebrate St. Lucia's Day and also Midsummer.
Yo, that's fucking sick. We should go check that out.
I would love to go up to New Sweden for Midsummer.
So that not, hopefully we don't get tossed off a cliff or something.
Also, Midsummer is one of my favorite movies.
I've been wanting to see it. I just kind of read about it because...
Do it.
Yeah, we gotta sit down and watch that. We also have to sit down and watch Alien. Just because I want to watch Alien again.
So in 1994, Loring Air Force Base, which was nearby, it closed.
Okay.
And it sent the economy into turbulence.
Did you
mean? I didn't mean to do that, but that's great.
I love it.
A lot of people here were potato farmers.
Yep.
And at the time of the poisoning, a lot of folks still were making a living on these stretches of land that were passed down through generations. Mm-hmm. And because potatoes are so prevalent of a crop in Aroostook, most potato farmers use arsenic.
Oh, so very accessible ingredient for the potato farming.
Yeah, because a lot of, they use it to kill, I believe they said they use it to kill the plant on top.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Makes sense.
So, access to arsenic.
Super easy.
Super easy. So the next question is, who had the motive to poison the coffee at Gustav Adolf Lutheran Church?
Yeah, who's just deciding to poison old people?
Right.
Like, what kind of maniac
it's a very weird thing.
Yeah.
Initially, the Maine State Police had focused on a group of 6 to 10 parishioners.
God, I love this. This is like a game of Clue.
It really is. Locals believed it had to be more than one person because nobody could imagine that one person had enough anger to potentially harm so many people. It wasn't until May 2nd when police were presented with the answer to their questions, but it also created new ones. Daniel Bodenson, 53-year-old substitute teacher and nurse who was known to attend services at church, had shot himself in the chest and left a note confessing to the poisoning.
Oh, hot damn.
He had died later that day in the hospital. "I acted alone," it began, and this was underlined. "I acted alone. I thought it was something. ". I had no intent to hurt this way, just to upset stomach, as the churchgoers did me." Someone said that it was that he had contracted food poisoning after a church event. Others said that he had an ongoing dispute with the church council regarding a communion table that Daniel and his siblings donated to the church. I got a little bit more information on that. Something that is sort of a tradition in New Sweden is when one of your loved ones dies, mm-hmm. you donate to the church something of theirs.
Okay.
And so they had donated this table to be used as a communion table, and it was just sitting unused.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So yeah. Some people thought that he was angry that they had donated this, the church should have been using it, and they weren't.
And they were not using it.
Bodenson was very well liked in the community. It led to sentiments that he was an unwitting participant in the poisonings, that he had been given the arsenic by another person, and he didn't know what it was.
Are you saying that potentially Bodenson was murdered?
No, because people think that he after the aftermath, like,
yeah.
He gets the poison from someone else. He thinks it's just like, I don't know. I still don't, in my mind, I'm also like, I would not just put something.
Like,
I don't have enough malice in my heart.
Yeah.
To even give someone food poisoning.
But not to know what you're throwing in there. That's
is a little, yes.
It's pretty bad.
Exactly. So a lot of people believe that he was given it. He put it in the coffee. When he realized it was arsenic, the guilt overtook him. Because this is only a couple days, you know, that the poisoning happened on April 27th. He shoots himself on May 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people believe that he felt so guilty.
Yeah.
That he took his own life.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds guilty. Absolutely. So, really torn up about the situation, but also just, like, bad move.
It also seems really. Like he was having a kind of a rough time. He had lost, I think he said, his father, his brother, and a nephew. Fairly recently.
Okay.
So some people say maybe he wasn't fully there. He's
going through a lot of grief issues, yeah.
The consensus is that they believe that he is not the sole perpetrator. The community believes this.
Okay. They're all behind this.
They're like, did he do it with somebody else because of the frustration that he had?
Mm-hmm.
Was he an unwitting participant? And even more so, some people thought he was framed.
Hmm.
In 2004, it was revealed that Daniel's lawyer had revealed that... Why'd I use that word twice? Daniel's lawyer had said that he had information that could put a lot of the remaining questions to rest, but he couldn't offer it to police because of attorney-client privilege.
Okay.
So he was waiting for a waiver from the Bodenson estate.
To go ahead and say, like,
And to this day, it was never granted.
Wow. Okay.
But he says that Daniel came to him the day before he shot himself and gave him information that would clear up some of this.
So I think maybe one of his siblings gave him the arsenic, because why else would they, like...
I think they did also get a warrant to search his sister's house in Massachusetts.
Okay.
But I don't believe they found anything.
I mean, if arsenic is as prevalent as it is in this area, like, what does it matter? Like, they could just have used a little bit and thrown the rest out. Like, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, they found a container of arsenic on his... Because he also has a farm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a container of arsenic at the farm.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is obviously where it came from.
Okay. So, but he was given it, but he can't read.
Was he given it, or did he just... Yeah, so...
I'm still on the siblings idea.
Really?
Yeah, because why the fuck else would the estate just be holding on to the information and not sharing it?
Well, the estate doesn't have it, the information. They don't know anything.
Well, they have to have a waiver. You just said, like, the lawyer had the information.
The lawyer has the information. Waiver. They have to sign a waiver saying, yes, you can talk to the police.
Okay.
I mean, unless the siblings are involved, they don't know anything.
Mm.
And you could also say that because it's like...
It sounds like they're covering their ass.
That's maybe. And maybe they just don't... I have some interesting stuff to say about this. In 2006, the case was deemed closed, with detectives stating that, through the grand jury process, we have now had the opportunity to examine evidence that was previously unavailable to us, but which we cannot disclose because of grand jury secrecy requirements. Based upon that previously unavailable information and the information gathered throughout the investigation over the last 3 years, we have concluded that there's insufficient evidence at this time to believe that anyone other than Daniel Bodenson was involved in the arsenic poisoning at Gustav Adolf Lutheran Church in New Sweden, Maine on April 27th, 2003, and no further investigation was made into the case.
Okay. All right. Well...
So that unavailable information could have been from the lawyer.
Yeah.
And we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know the source, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't even know, like, all their details either, it seems.
And we will probably never.
No, because this is just gonna, like, go on the wayside. This has become something of, like, a little urban legend, I guess, at this point. Coffee poisoning. Some juicy stuff.
So after the town was swamped by news crews and reporters after that fateful 2003 morning, residents were very wary of discussing the case. This made national news.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
I mean, a lot of my sources, I have, like, the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC. Like, this was a huge story. The New York Times article that I found was from May 1st, the day before Daniel Bodenson shot himself.
Oh, wow.
So New York Times was reporting on it in the middle of it.
Yeah. That's really...
So this is big news for a small town. A lot of people ended up changing their phone numbers because they were getting so many calls. Some just put their voicemail on.
This is the most Maine response I've ever heard.
Like, it gets worse. They really wanted to just pretend it never happened.
That's the most main thing.
One of the articles that I found showed that it was a year after the events, they didn't hold a memorial or anything.
Oh, wow.
They were just like, nope.
Don't drink the coffee anymore nope. in church.
Yeah, probably not. A lot of people, I think it probably did change a lot of people's lives because not only Walter Morris died,
mm-hmm.
There was another parishioner who died a few years later to what her family believes were complications from the poisoning.
Mm.
There are a lot of people who their lives were changed. Dale Anderson, when he was interviewed by WGME 13, he was saying, like, he has handshakes now. Like, he can't feel parts of his body after being poisoned.
Oh, man.
So a lot of these people's lives were drastically changed. Yes, they survived, but their lives weren't the same. it does seem like a lot of people just, it is a very main response of just, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think that
we don't even acknowledge it.
Yeah, no, just kind of like, I'm changing my number. I'm tired of everybody bothering me about this, you know. It is a very major response.
Yep. And so, that's all I got.
I love that.
That's sort of where, that's where it ends, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty open shut there. Like, he admits to it. We know who the murderer is. Really sucks that, you know, the people do have these long-lasting conditions, but also, the fucking motive, man. The motive behind this is so dumb. I think that's the thing that's like,
it's very strange too, because Daniel Bodenson seemed to be just a kind of chill dude.
Did he?
Like, he was a, you know, he was a farmer, he was a substitute teacher, he was a nurse,
a man of many hats.
He was very athletic, he ran in the Boston Marathon, like... People really liked him. He was active in the community. And I think that's one of the reasons why people don't believe that... Because I'm not saying that people like that can't do it.
Right.
Because they do.
They just find it shocking that he would do it.
Yeah, and that's why I think a lot... It's kind of conspiratorial. Mm. I don't think a lot of people, even though that's what the final ruling is, I don't think that a lot of people believe he did it. Even though the evidence shows...
That he is, like...
I guess it's evidence versus perception.
I guess, yeah.
And that does happen, where people are like, I don't believe this because of my perception of the events.
Did you just have a facts over feelings moment? Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah. Facts over feelings, I guess, is the better way to put... That's the more common thing, I guess. But yeah, I think that's what it could... I definitely think that's what it could be, especially since this is such a small community... It's so tight-knit, you think you know everything.
Right. No, I mean, I think... After hearing what the grand jury was saying, yeah, I'm more now like of... Yeah, maybe it was just him acting alone on this. Do you think it's weird that the estate is, like, withholding anything? Not waiving that... Or not putting that waiver for the
maybe,
defense?
But that's the thing, is maybe they did. Maybe or they did. I don't know... If the grand jury could also trump that and be like, please tell us.
Maybe, but...
But I don't think it's information that they're going to give to us.
Or maybe it's information they already have and they've just deemed it as inconclusive. Like,
and that's possible.
Speculative at best, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know if... I don't know... I can't say for sure if a waiver was ever given. It was never reported that it was. The lawyer... only spoke out that one time in 2004.
Right.
We don't know if he...
Maybe he did it. Was it the lawyer, the nurse, or Rose?
Rose is the nurse.
Rose the nursing student.
Yeah, Rose the nursing student. Who, she is really cool.
Is she cool?
Yeah, she's kind of cool.
Yeah?
And it's something that her...
Is she wearing like Doc Martens in her photo?
I didn't see any photos of her. I'm just saying, like, in the interviews that I read with her, she just is like, it just kind of happened, and nobody really talked to her about it, but the CDC was like, Rose Tanguay.
Again, it's that this blind, is you. It's that, like, undeserved confidence that a student gets going into, like, the job market, where it's just like,
no, she's I'm going to solve everything. She straight up was like, she's like, I wasn't even a nurse. It's like, in so one of the articles was like, a nurse, and then she's like, no, I was not a nurse.
So, yeah, I was just a student. Yeah. It's like, which is pretty awesome. But
she saved 15 people.
Yeah, well, is it 15 people? I thought 15 people were sent to the hospital.
16.
16. Okay.
One person died. Arguably, someone did die later, but I'm not sure if they... Because Murderpedia does not count that second person towards the total.
Right. It's more of a due to complications sort of situation.
Right. But, I mean, you can say... If she had not been poisoned, she would
probably be alive, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was pretty awesome. Well, that's the thing what I like about this murder in particular, is that there are a lot, I'd say, kill count, very even split on people still alive.
Even split.
Not even split, sorry. weighing more heavy towards the people being alive than dead. Really sucks that Daniel was so torn up about it, but I'd imagine if what you were saying, like, he was a pillar of the community, as you were kind of describing him.
It's funny you say that, because on That's Why We Drink, they talk about being a pillar of the community. Oh, yeah. Is literally just, like, pillar of the community equals the most likely to commit a heinous crime.
Yeah.
If someone is ever described as a pillar of the community, fucking run.
That man's about to murder you.
Exactly. Because they usually have the ability to. Yeah, it's weird. And I think it's interesting because a lot of people do just blame quote-unquote church politics. That's aggressive.
For this?
That church politics led to the death of three people in reality. Daniel Bodenson.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and his two victims.
If it's true with the communion table, then yeah, that'd be fucking batshit insane.
I think it's also insane if it's like, yeah, I got an upset tummy at a bake sale, so...
Yeah, but that kind of makes more sense to me.
An eye for an eye.
Yeah, man, I've eaten my fair share of bad church food, and you know what? Sometimes...
Maybe it was some bad baked beans.
Maybe shut your mouth about these beans. But, you know, fool me once on those fish tacos, but, like, if you can't fucking...
I would not eat fish tacos from a church...
Abigail, if you can't, like, cook your salmon properly on the first try and then fuck it up two more times, I don't know if it's on me or you.
It's raw!
It's fucking raw, Abby!
I watch a lot of Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay is my daddy.
Welcome to the Hell's Kitchen podcast.
Homegrown Hell's Kitchen.
Homegrown kitchen.
No, homegrown Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, fine, fine, fine.
So, yeah, that's what I've got for you today. And thank you again, Ash Bobash. It was really fascinating when she told me this. I was like, I have to do this for my next story.
It's really fun. It's a quality murder. I'd rank it up there.
Quality.
Quality.
And also, god damn it, a rustic.
Yeah, guys, stop, man.
Yeah, so I basically am like, so the entire, like, top half of Maine is just a wash.
You know, it's just like, well, I'm having less and less reasons to go up there.
I still would like to go to the Chain Lakes.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And
I'll catch myself a Poco.
I will go see Poco. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't move there, I don't think.
Hell no. Why would I move there?
I also would be an outsider and probably would not be treated very well.
No, I mean, all these towns are so small.
I'm not Swedish enough for New Sweden.
Nah, you can't go to New Sweden, nor can you go to Amity, I think.
Like, actually, no, that would be a bad time, too, because I'm French-Canadian, and they had a big old fight with the French-Canadians.
They'll smell it on you. They'll be like,
this Canadian bitch!
I smell fresh croissants.
I smell poutine.
I smell poutine. Get out of here! Get your delicious cheese curdles and fries away from us.
Cheese curdles.
Are they cheese? Oh, curds.
Curds. I like curdles. Cheese curdles.
Yeah, that's my version. It's a bad one.
Do you have a Mainism?
I actually do.
Ah!
So I don't know a whole lot about this, but I did hear a little information, and it's very specific to this state.
Okay.
Wait, we forgot the theme song. Hey, hey, it's a Mainism. So, it's called the Dirigo State. I'm going to look it up real quick, make sure I have
looking
this.
It up.
Looking it up.
Looking it up.
Because I heard this from a coworker friend here, and she was describing it to me as if it's something that all states have. She was like, oh yeah, you know this thing that you would do as a kid? And I'm like, nope. And she kept describing it, and I'm like, nope, that's a you guys thing. It is called the Boys State Program and the Dirigo's Girls State Program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, but I remember that being a thing.
Yeah, so I guess it's like, basically, cohort of students from across Maine will, like, come together and kind of act as, like, a congress and maybe elect each other. And they also petition, you know, talk to the legislature about issues that are affecting kids these days.
Yes.
I'm sure these days they talk about school shootings or something like that, but you guys, I don't know, probably talking about bad food options in schools, maybe.
Yeah. I would also say something that is very pressing that actually my former school district got in trouble for was sending kids to school in the middle of snowstorms.
Oh yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, the superintendent got in big trouble because a bus actually slid into a ditch.
All right, yeah, at that point, like,
it was like whiteout conditions.
That's bad.
And he was like, nah.
That's cool.
I mean, the superintendent also got in trouble for a lot of other things, including nepotism. He hired his sex offender son.
Whoa, okay, not cool, man.
Yeah, so he got in big old trouble, and that was just like the tip of the iceberg. But yeah, I can see those would be things that could be discussed, because I think they're also younger, aren't they?
Yeah, they're younger.
Because I think it's like kids.
Yeah, I think it's like middle school at most, you know?
Yeah, it's not like high schoolers, because I think I remember it being offered to us maybe in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But I also remember we were supposed to take a trip to Augusta. So to go to the state house when I was in the fourth grade. It was something that they did every year for the fourth graders. And we got rained out.
You got rained out? You couldn't go?
Yeah, we couldn't go. We were all lined up at the door to go, and then they were like, we're not going.
You know what? Like, honestly, when it comes down to that kind of stuff, like, at every school, I don't know, a lot of schools make you go to the state capitol as a field trip once in a while. I remember going to the Connecticut state capitol when I was in elementary school. Overrated, you know?
Yeah.
You don't get, like, a real appreciation, I think, of this. You just see a lot of worried people running around in ties, and they show you some big empty rooms because they're not going to bring you in there during the session.
Right. What was your favorite field trip as a kid?
Oh, it had to have been, like, any kind of science museum, you know, because there's always shit to interact with, like one of those big globes with the lightning inside.
Yeah, we went to the Boston Museum of Science when I was in the sixth grade.
Oh, shit. Oh, there's a consistent one. This is a field trip I remember my school did a couple times. They would take us to the, we would go to Bridgeport in Connecticut, and there was, I think this is where it was. I'm either thinking of Bridgeport or Fairfield, but I think Fairfield's more inland now I'm remembering it, so I think it's Bridgeport. That makes sense. But there was an aquarium there that was pretty awesome, and then we would sometimes go to this weird, like, science, sort of science museum, but there was this one thing where you could, like, build a boat and, like, have it go down various
waterways
and stuff, and that was a great kid activity.
I remember when I was in elementary school, we did a lot of Lymington-based trips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went to Sawyer Mountain. We went to, like, all of the... There's an octagon house.
An octagon house.
It's yellow, and it's the shape of an octagon.
That's good.
so we did stuff like that. But I also remember we went to this, like, colonial village.
Oh, sick, yeah.
And we had to dress up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or, like, they were, like, dress as... Like, girls had to wear long skirts, boys had to wear, like, button-up shirts. We learned, like, how to make butter.
That's fucking cool.
But one of the other things that we had to do was, for our lunch, which I remember my mom being like, the fuck, is we had to have period-specific lunch.
Oh, okay.
So, like, my mom, and so instead of, like, sending you with, like, cheese sticks, like string cheese in the package, my mom had to take it out of the package and cut it into little... squares to be like, yes, here, my child, have some little cheese squares. You know, and it was like, it had to be things that could have been sourced at the time.
That is so frustrating for a parent, honestly.
And then they had to be, we had to, like, take them in, like, baskets.
That's obnoxious as fuck. Just let the kids bring their lunches, man. Like, why does it have to be period specific? That's so... Well, news to me came home. Kids got a freaking field trip over at Salem Village tomorrow or something. And now I'm roasting a goddamn turkey over an open fire.
I don't remember where it was. I think it was in Maine, because I know my sister did a similar trip, but it was to Strawberry Fields, which is Strawberry Fields? Strawberry Banks. Strawberry Fields forever. Strawberry Banks, which is out of the state, I think. So But yes, that's the one that, like, sticks in my mind. That was also in the fourth grade. I had a split class. Is that something that other schools do? We had a split classroom, so it was third and fourth grade.
I'm sure it's happened in, like, other classrooms. Like, that's, I think, a thing across the U.S. I've never been in a split classroom where it's, like, you know.
Yeah.
I guess the closest you get to that is in college, depending on whatever courses taking. Yeah. So, no, not in, like, elementary school or high school.
Oh, you mean, like, being that one freshman in the advanced class?
Who's a sophomore? People raise their hand. Who's a senior? People raise their hand. Or junior. And then they don't mention freshman, and I'm just like, I guess I'll just keep sitting here.
I am the only one.
I feel awkward if I say anything. I guess I'll just keep pretending I belong here.
Did you pass that class?
Yeah, I did. I did pass it. And it was, I thought that was really exciting to me. Because, halfway through the semester, my professor brought me in, was just like, so you're a freshman? Yeah. You're not supposed to be here.
Why did it take them so long?
I don't know. I think I found a glitch in their enrollment system. And, like, I just happened to get in there, no problem.
That's so weird.
It is really funny to me. I think it's because I switched from psych to politics. And that may have had something to do with, like,
but freshmen switch their majors.
Yeah, all the time. I don't know. I found a security flaw, you know. Yeah. So.
I never switched my major. I was theater the whole time.
Hey, no. Yeah. No, that's dedication right there. Yeah. I was in psych because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And they it was really funny. They made you take a course called what was basically what can you actually do with a psych degree? And the answer was nothing, and you'll make no money.
It's really funny because we're going to talk about that in the Casper episode.
yeah, we are.
All right. So, what would we like to leave them on today?
Well, I just wanted to emphasize the Dear Ghost State stuff. I just thought really cool, though, that there is a program like that available for one to kind of like introduce kind of politics to students and also kind of get them civically engaged in ways they wouldn't think of.
Oh, absolutely.
I think like maybe kids might think of politicians as like, oh yeah, they know what the fuck they're talking about. It's like, no, you got to talk to them also, because they might not know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to like not only encourage that, but like, you know, bring the kids directly there and like have them have a go at it.
Absolutely.
Dear
go at it.
Yeah, but unique main thing. Maybe there is like smaller programs out there about this, but this program's been around since 1940s.
I didn't know it has been around that long.
Yeah, it's been pretty consistent. So since the 1940s, you guys have had this state-run program.
That's cool.
Yeah, and yeah, not a thing really anywhere else. And, you know, probably on a smaller scale, I'm sure there's some now.
But, yeah. But for that long, for that to be on the state of Maine's radar that this is important for kids.
I think, yeah, that shows like a really focused vision of like wanting to educate students. Now, if they can take that same energy and put it into the whole like, oh, how do we keep people from leaving the state? And then they can finally realize that it's money and housing, then
yeah, good luck.
They'll be on a good track.
I mean, you know what it's like. You guys got your apartment all settled.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know how rough it is to find housing in the state.
It just blows my mind how even in an area that's supposedly supposed to have a lot of housing, like finding a basic apartment, it can be pretty up there. Like, and then also at the same time, wages for people that would be going into these apartments, it's not matching.
No.
So, something's got to give.
Yeah. And it will. One day.
One day. Anyway, yeah, what do we want to leave people with?
I'm lucky because I don't drink coffee.
There you go, yeah. So,
maybe
switch to tea, guys.
The dangers of coffee. don't drink the coffee.
Don't drink the coffee at church, and...
I mean, don't drink the coffee at church because probably the water coming out of it is also nasty.
That's fair as well.
When I was, the place that I was doing the show at was an old church, and the water smelled musty.
Oh, no, no, no.
My
no,
water
no,
bottle no. smelled musty for like 2 days, even though I washed it twice. So, really don't drink the coffee at church as much, unless you're at the point in which you have artisan coffee.
Yes, very low chance of someone poisoning your coffee there. Also, you know, if you're going to start putting something into some coffee, like, read the label first.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Read the label before you poison someone.
Oh, and also, kudos to Rose. This one's for you.
Absolutely! Yeah. Nursing students, go for it.
Yeah, listen to your students once in a while.
Absolutely. All right, thank you for listening, y'all.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye!
Hello, homies. My sources for today are WGME 13, The New York Times, The Bangor Daily News, Wikipedia, Maine Crime Writers, Murderpedia, the Maine Attorney General website, and ABC. Thanks for listening. You can reach out to us on our Twitter at HGHpod or on our Instagram at HomegrownHorrorPod. We hope to see you again soon.